she has done it by herself.
Here's the lady of the day. She's going to enjoy this moment.
This is fantastic, racist.
This is the Love Women Cycling Podcast.
If you've ever been a part of a women's cycling group, I bet you were drawn in by that sense of community. I'm talking about that living life together, turning up to group rides without worrying about how high your socks are, or sitting beside a girlfriend on a group ride knowing that each other's company is just what you needed. Helping another friend learn how to use cleats or change a tire for the first time, knowing it doesn't matter how fast or how slow you ride, because this is the kind of community that just doesn't care. We're all wired to desire it, and we can all offer it. In this episode, we throw the floor to two regulars on the podcast, WMN ambassadors Bridget Slocum and Faz Zamani, and ask them and their women's cycling community about the importance of women supporting women. A big thank you to Annette Del Salso, Marie-Louise Fitzgerald, Sarah Malkins, Jacqueline Waters, and Grace Eady for giving up your time and sharing your experiences with us on the Love Women Cycling Podcast.
Good afternoon, Faz. We're here again recording another podcast.
And this time we're definitely choosing.
It's past midday, so it's definitely okay to have a glass of wine while we're recording the podcast. So last time you heard from Faz and I, we were in the middle of a very hard lockdown, and we're just gradually eking our way out of that lockdown and certainly reconnecting with our community.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are going beyond our 5 kilometre radius. We are going beyond our 1 hour limit, and it has made the world of difference.
I think my hairdresser was the highlight of the last fortnight, but we are very cognizant that, you know, we do have some listeners over in Europe and America who are going into a cold winter and perhaps going into their own lockdown. And, you know, we just say to those listeners
that we feel you.
We feel you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's a nice segue into our topic today, which is women supporting women. And, you know, that goes for cycling, but also in the community generally. Now, at the time of recording, we're about 1 week out of our Melbourne Black Sheep Cycling WMN reunion ride. So this is our opportunity, so far as the existing COVID restrictions permit, to reconnect with the women in the Melbourne cycling community.
It sold out. We put up tickets, obviously free, but just in order to kind of keep the numbers in order.
And I think get contact tracing.
And obviously contact tracing. And I think it sold out in
less than four hours.
And we still have people messaging us saying, can we please come? Is there a waiting list? So
I think it's a testament to the fact that, you know, the community of women in Melbourne has really missed getting together and missed the environment that, you know, not only the Black Sheep girls, but a number of groups create in the women's cycling community. Faz and I were having a bit of a chat before we started the recording about times when women have supported us in our journey in cycling. And I met this girl, Kate, who'd ridden track since she was about 3 years old and was in with all the fashion and knew all the etiquette. And she really took me under her wing and she really developed my love of cycling. And I remember when she said to me, I'm going to sign you up for a race. And I was like,
Oh God.
I can't race. I don't know what I'm doing. And I remember, you know, she signed me up. She found a race for us. She came. We did it together. And I won my grade. It was a C-grade Northern Combine race, but I won it. And I remember her taking a photo of me holding my trophy. And I remember her posting a picture on I think it was Facebook, but I don't think Instagram existed then. But she posted this picture saying, like, I'm so proud of my friend who signed up for a race when I forced her to and came first. And, you know, that really started a journey for me, which I don't think I ever would have gone on when I was just riding with a couple of blokes around the block and, you know, doing spin classes and so forth.
100%.
Yep. You know, and I certainly found when I started racing, there really wasn't the same sort of women's community that there is now and perhaps the connectivity that you do get from the internet. But I think were it not for this girl, Kate, I don't think I ever would have got into racing because it was a terrifying experience to turn up to a race with all these girls who had carbon wheels and looked really flashy, like they knew what they were doing. But having someone in your corner and having someone backing you,
100%,
even driving you out there,
yeah,
I found just absolutely invaluable. Yeah. And it certainly started for me a love of racing and a love of riding.
Yeah.
What about you, Faz? Have you had a similar experience?
Yeah, not so much with racing, but I think really to do with riding at its basic level. My best friend, Serena, who I've known since grade 9, so I think we were 15, she taught me how to ride a bike, really. And I'm not in terms of like how to turn the wheels, but she took me into Melbourne CBD and got me clipped in. And to this day, I'm like, Serena, maybe we could have gone somewhere.
Started at a footy field.
You know, a little bit wider with no tram tracks and traffic. I clearly remember, I think I was on Elizabeth Street.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And we'd walked out of this shop and I had that feeling of, oh my God, what have I done? Like, what was wrong with my sneakers and my flat pedals? Which Serena was like, you can't keep doing this. And I remember, you know, she's like, just follow my lead. And I clicked in and I felt so happy and empowered and strong, but so scared. And to this day, we laugh because it was like when you take the training wheels off and you watch that little girl go, oh my God, oh my God. And then you're like, watch the, and then, so that happened to me.
Did you fall over?
Well, I was like, I said to Cez at one point, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to go get a drink. And there was a fountain up ahead somewhere. And she goes, okay, no stress. And I went to literally like, I just went to stop. And she's like, don't forget to.
We all know where that story is going to end.
And she never lets me live it down. But, you know, she took me out on rides. She pushed me in ways that I guess I hadn't been pushed before on a bike. And, you know, back then Cez was doing triathlons and things like that, so I'd always go and watch her. But anyway, I guess to in terms of the way that she supported me and the way that that's worked and it'd been such a beautiful relationship is I went to the Netherlands, which is where she lives, last year, and I had just come off a trip from Italy. And so I had my bike for the first time being with her because she's been living in Holland for such a long time. And I was like, Cez, I really want to ride with you. And Serena, she's a teacher. She's got two beautiful children. So she's got a full-on life, is still fit but hadn't been on a bike. And, I mean, she lives in the Netherlands, so they ride everywhere. So, you know, I knew she had a basic level of cycling fitness. So we went to a local shop in The Hague and we hired her a bike that was way too big for her. And she obviously was all ready in terms of having kit, whatever, and we did 100 kilometres together, which was a massive ride for her.
A massive ride for me.
For me as well. And I still to this day remember it as being a phenomenal ride with my best friend who had taught me how to clip in. But the best part of it is that once I left, she went and bought a bike, like a proper bike.
Yeah.
I actually bought her the Dutch Black Sheep kit.
Oh, awesome.
And sent that to her. And so she's been sending me photos of her ride. She's on Strava now and I've told her how to go and get qualms. And so it was just this like beautiful, like
symbiotic kind of relationship.
100%.
Yeah.
And now we're just literally waiting till, I guess, the day where we can do it again, which, might be a while, but that was a phenomenal thing for me. It's like my best friend got me into cycling and I feel like I got her back in, and it always makes me smile when I see her Strava rides.
Oh, that's gorgeous. So I think, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is why is it important for women to support women in cycling?
Yeah.
And in a large way, it's similar to many feminist causes in terms of people always say you can only be what you see.
Yes.
So if you know, are working in an office and you see a manager or somebody ahead of you who's a female, that's something that you can strive to be. And it's the same in the cycling world. You know, if all you see is male cyclists, or the only feedback you get, or the only
which
support
is not relatable,
you get,
really. I mean, it can be a form of support, and I think this comes back to, I guess, you and I, Bridget, in terms of when we started riding, obviously we have our origins, but in terms of our riding per se, it was mostly with men. So, which, you know, as a woman, I think you're kind of looking at that going, I can't relate to that.
Can't relate to some parts. I mean, it's obviously
the
great.
The cycling, absolutely. Yeah. But you don't look at a man on a bike, and I know I'm being very generalistic in terms of my gender norms, but you don't look at that and go, I can be that.
No, No. I remember when I first started riding, I was only riding with men. And then it wasn't until I started racing women that I realized, like, oh God, I'm actually quite fit, because yes, I was always the last one up the hill.
100%.
Because the blokes were a lot stronger than me. And I think there's a real element to that thing of, you know, if you're training or riding with people who are of the same body type as you, that's even something. And we were talking on the ride today, and might sound like a bit TMI for some people, but one of the girls that we ride with is doing a lot of research into women's menstrual cycles and hormones and so forth. And one of the things she talks really freely about is that, you know, in certain parts of your cycle, you're actually feeling like a bag of rice on the bike. And I sort of said to her, you know, I don't, some weeks I feel like I'm flying and then other weeks I just...
But that conversation, Bridget, which first of all is extremely important and should be had, and I think this is what our friend Tara is trying to promote. It's so much, I get, for me anyway, it has been so much easier to have in a group of women.
Yeah, because everybody can relate. Yeah. And in a way that it would never happen even if there was a mixed group of men and women.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to know that, I think when we were talking about it, there were about three or four people in the conversation who said, oh, yeah, the week before my period, I'm always really struggling, you know, chewing stem the whole day.
Yeah, or like, and then as soon as it's over, I'm unstoppable.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, I didn't even think of that, you know. And I think this is someone that you might be touching base with later down the track, Bridget, Sarah Grove, who's my coach at the moment. One of the things that I really value about the way that she trains me is she wants to know that information.
Yeah.
And it's very refreshing to have a coach that looks at me and says, I understand you as a woman and how you work biologically, and I want to work with that to make you a stronger and better person.
Yeah.
And that, again, is another supportive system of another woman supporting another woman.
Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
Hey, Bridget, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you here. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your cycling journey?
I've been involved with the sport for probably about 10 years or so, racing first in triathlons, then in cycling. I also got into coaching myself, so I coach triathletes, cyclists and runners, and still race and train for myself. So kind of my whole world is enveloped around those two sports.
And of course that all sounds very busy, and what you haven't mentioned is your two kids. You've got two under three, is it?
Yes, I've got a little three-year-old and a one-and-a-half-year-old, so they certainly keep us busy. My husband also is a cyclist as well. So when we didn't have kids, it was great. We could go out cycling and going on adventures together, but now it's actually more about who's going to have the time.
Who's going to get to go for a ride and tag team the kids.
Who's to go out. But yeah, it's definitely a challenge, but I love it and I make it a priority for myself to go out and do it. So I generally train in some way, shape or form every day or most days of the week, and we just make it work because it's what we love and it makes us feel good, and we're both quite competitive as well. So
why do you think it matters that your coaches get support from you as a female?
As a female coach, I find females naturally gravitate towards me, so without trying to push for female or male athletes. I coach both, but I find females naturally gravitated towards a female coach. One, because there's not many, and two, just from that perspective, you know, the question you had in regards to, they feel like they could have any conversation with me. So some of the conversations we do have are in regards to our menstrual cycle and how they feel during that, or how long it is and how does that impact their training and their recovery. It could be their relationship at home. I have conversations with people about their work and the stress that might be giving them. So I find females just feel like they can be more open with females in general, and it might just come down to that normally you're having a chit chat with your friend and you can talk about anything and everything. And I find that from an athlete perspective, they can do that as well. And I found that really beneficial from a coaching perspective, because I get a bigger picture on exactly what their life looks like and the stresses they may have in it, or the concerns or the worries that they have, or being open about, you mentioned anxiety, you know, being open about that it's super important, because it's all part of you as a person, which then can be reflected in you as an athlete or as a cyclist.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like your clients are very lucky to have you on board, Sarah. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts today.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Cheers. And I think there's something to be said that I've got a lot of very good male friends. Most of them are a lot older than me who I've ridden with for years. But there's a real sense of a safe space that comes out of riding with women.
100%.
I mean, I can sit there with my old dads and feel very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
But there is a certain sense that when you're riding with a bunch of women, there is a really safe space to be yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and
whatever that may be.
Yep. And if a stranger comes along to that group, and there's men in the group, and that stranger is a female, and they're a bit unsure of themselves, I think they're always a lot more comfortable if it's a women's space.
Yep.
Because I feel like they feel like there isn't the need to push themselves or pretend that they're stronger. Yep. And they can say, hey, look, I'm really struggling today. Can someone wait for me?
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I think so. And I think one of the most important things to kind of take into consideration about this space, that safe space for women, I think there's still a lot to be done in that space.
Yeah.
I think feminism and supporting women's rights and promoting women in cycling especially, yes, we've come very far, and we're in such a great environment at the moment. I feel like I don't even race, but I look at how far the racing world has come in terms of women's cycling and I go, fantastic, you know, but I still feel like there's quite a bit of work to be done. So I think that safe space, that space where you're supporting each other, it still needs to continue. It needs to get stronger. It needs to get bigger.
Hey, Marie, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks.
Good. Tell us a bit about your journey to cycling.
So when I was about 3 years old, my dad got me a bike. No, I'm not going to go back then. But probably when it came to road cycling, I got a road bike probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and I got into racing about 3 years ago, and I just sort of showed up at Hawthorne and tried a C grade crit, and I got addicted, and now I've made my way into a elite position, I guess. I raced my first national road race back in January this year, and I've just been signed to a new team, the Panna Pedler team. I'm really excited to hopefully get racing again, but it's been a wonderful journey, and I guess that's sort of just the rundown of my racing journey now.
Yeah. And theme for this podcast is women supporting women. Can you think of any memorable times when either you've provided support to another woman or you've been supported by women in the sport?
I think when it comes to this, the thing that comes to mind is Katie Quiggin. So I tried racing back when I firstly got a road bike, and it was so stressful and I didn't know anyone, and my first racing experience was pretty awful, and I decided I didn't like racing and I would never do it again. But 3 years ago, Katie Quiggin was racing at the Teardrop and I came to watch her, and she explained to me the importance of showing up. And what that is that we can't have women's racing if we don't have women racing. So sometimes the best way to support a sport is by getting involved. And so the next week I signed up and I did my first crit, and here I am now. And she's always been a big advocate for all of that. So yeah, brilliant. Yeah,
she's fantastic. And why do you think it matters to have women supporting women as opposed to men supporting women?
Look, I do believe that feminism also comes from the male side as well, and that sometimes we actually need men to be feminists as well and build us up in those places, because our voices are a bit of a minority in a lot of spaces, especially in cycling. But I feel like women cut women down. So I think a lot of the time we need to see that we have to empower each other. And sometimes I think it's quite easy to go to what is she wearing, what is she doing? And instead we should be like, good on them, go them. This is so great to show up. I might be racing you today, but racing you means that you're as strong as me, and we could potentially ride together on the weekend and have a great hit out too.
Yeah.
So empowering each other to see each other as friends and celebrate when we show up at that start line.
Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts.
We were out riding earlier today with a friend of ours who's recently had a couple of accidents. So she's really struggling with her confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said to me, I want you to be my guru with descending. You're so confident with descending. And I gave her a couple of really basic things, not in a mansplaining way, but I just said to her, okay, well, you know, one thing I want to want you to focus on is looking where you want to be. Mm. So look at the person riding ahead of you, look at the exit from the corner and keep your weight back and relax your shoulders. And she said to me, like, oh my gosh, she said, I've had 1 week of you telling me this.
Yeah.
And I already feel at one with my bike.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, when I was talking to my boyfriend, like he was just like, oh, you know, you want to counterbalance and you want to, you know, make sure that you get down in the drops and you want to do this. And she said, everything he was telling me was kind of just, it didn't make sense to me. But she said, when you explained it, it made sense. I think one of the things I said to her was stare with your girls.
Yes.
You know, rather than staring with your hands.
But
you know,
I think that comes back to the whole, the advice is coming from someone that you can relate to.
Yeah. And we break things down in a way that women understand.
That's right.
And that's not to say that women can't understand things that are complicated, but it's a question of saying, well, women communicate in a different way. Yes, and sometimes
we have different bodies on bikes.
Yeah.
We have different body. At the end of the day, if you're turning to someone and telling them this is, I guess, these are the things to take into account when you're descending, you've got to consider that you have a different body at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Hi, Grace. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, tell us a bit about your cycling journey, Grace.
Oh, look, I actually cycled when I was younger, but I had a bad fall and had bruised my ribs quite badly, so I didn't get back on for years. And my ex actually rode a lot and had bought me a hybrid bike, which was great to kind of get back into it. But I actually remember when I first got back on it, for the first time riding in years, it was kind of heavy and I was riding and we were like riding up a false flat, what I now know is a false flat. And I was like, I can't do this. Like my seat's too high. I can't reach the pedals. Like I'm feeling really unco. And it's like just yelling at me like, get on it. You can just do it. Just start pedaling. And I'm like, I'm trying. But yeah, that was maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I've only really recently got really into it in the last 6 months, actually through COVID. So I upgraded my bike. So I eventually got used to that heavier hybrid bike. But once I'd started getting up to a good distance, I thought, you know what, I really enjoy this and I want to do more of it, but I just don't really know where to start or what to look at. And, you know, you look online and there's just like a massive plethora of just overload of information.
Yeah.
So I, got in contact with you and, just, I guess, then trying to work out what bike is going to be best for me and all your kind of help in getting my first road bike from what bike to choose, the differences to look at, the different types, the details to consider from like frames and wheels and if you go pedals and all the things that I had absolutely no idea about. And do you remember the first time that I got on it and I could hardly ride it?
I remember when you couldn't actually sit on your seat because you were too scared to push off on the pedals.
I was so scared because, well, I could always touch the ground on the old bike, and then on that one, you're in such a different position. You're a lot more forward, and you know your seat's a lot higher. So when you're sitting on the seat, you can't touch the ground. And you were like, "That's the way it's meant to be." And I was just like, "Oh God, I can't do this." And I was like, "Oh shit, I've just laid down a small fortune, and I can't even ride this thing." And I just remember you laughing at me, but you had so much patience. So.
I'm glad that you now feel a lot more comfortable on the bike. And I think one of the things that I really wanted to help you do was to be able to do things by yourself. And I remember the first time we put your bike in the car at the bike shop, and I remember giving you like really strict instructions about how to take the wheels off and how to not muck up your disc brake blocks. And I remember saying to you, I want you to ring me when you've got your bike out of the car and it's all back together again.
Because I remember that. Yeah, that was so helpful. I didn't think I was ever going to fit a bike in that car.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the important things with female cyclists is, you know, it's very easy to just rely on a male friend or a bike shop to do all the things for you. But I think it's really empowering for women to be able to actually do their own things. If it's as simple as being able to take the wheels off and put the bike in your car, to changing a tire, to cleaning your bike and so forth. And
I think there's been a couple of times when you've sent me pictures and gone, what's happening with my bike? I can't, it's not working.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, because you just, it's a whole new world, and you're so right about it being empowering, because I can really see it now, because I've got friends who are now learning to ride who are coming to me and asking me for help, and being able to kind of pass on all of that information that I've learnt from you over this time has been so valuable to them. And I feel like watching them improve and feel motivated to get better feels really rewarding, and I just love seeing them doing well there. It's really nice.
Yeah, and I remember you saying to me at the time when you were still struggling to kind of push off on the pedals, I remember you saying, how are you so patient? Why do you want to do this? And I was like, because it's actually really rewarding helping someone on that journey. So, you know, I'm glad you've been able to kind of pass that on. Oh, that's really awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Grace. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So we've talked a bit about why it's important for women to support women. One of the other things I want to have a chat with you, Faz, about is this concept of how do you do that successfully?
How do you do it? Yeah, 100%.
Because, you know, there are ways and means where, you know, very well-meaning people can make women feel very unwelcome.
That's right.
And we've seen a number of examples of that. And I don't want to go into the negative things, but what I'd like to do is talk about some of the things that we think work.
Yes.
So that people who are listening, you know, what kind of things can they take to their community?
Yes. No matter where you are.
Absolutely. And one of our friends today sort of said to us, she used to be on the board of Cycling Victoria. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, one of the biggest things that I would say is make your contribution sustainable. So she said, you know, a lot of people get a lot of energy to do things in women's cycling, mm-hmm. and it's a real whiz-bang energy, and it lasts about 6 to 12 months.
That's right.
And then it all dies off.
So it comes about taking small, sustainable steps.
Yeah. And that might mean that you can't get a weekly ride up, yep. but you can get a really regular monthly ride that people really look forward to.
Yep.
It might mean that you don't have a whole race calendar full of events,
yep.
but you have one or two key women's events
yep.
that people work towards and really, really publicize 100%. And push.
And I think there's two bubbles in this. There's the community aspect of it, whether you're a ride leader or whether you're coming from a shop or a brand or whatever, and you're doing those kind of regular group rides, which are fantastic and comes back to, I guess, the discussions we had about safe spaces. But it's also just like you and I, we go on regular rides on a weekly basis, and it's just the two of us. And in my opinion, that is paramount in this topic in terms of women supporting women. And it's a small but very sustainable step where you and I are supporting each other.
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't need to be on the macro level. It can be as little as your friend says, picking you up and taking you to buy some cleats, you know. And it can be as much as if there's a friend of yours who during the COVID lockdown, has been struggling or has fallen out of the habit of riding their bike, picking them up and picking a phone up and inviting them to go for a bike ride.
And I think you and I have been on both sides of that, where we've received an invite or we've extended it. And I think for those of you who are going into lockdown, and depending obviously on the restrictions that you have, if you can do that, if it is just that one person and it's that one girlfriend, reach out.
Absolutely.
Now, we're here with Annette Del Celso. Annette is a wonderful woman who I met climbing up the back of Donna Boang about 4 years ago. Welcome, Annette. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, Bridget.
Good. Now, we're talking today about women supporting women, and I've given you a bit of advance notice about some of the questions that we're putting forward. The first one that I'd love to hear from you is whether you have any memorable moments when you've been supported by another woman in our cycling community.
Yep. Well, I have many of those moments, and I could talk a long time about women supporting women, but probably the most memorable one is actually a very recent one when I did or participated in Peaks Challenge this year, which I think is amazing for any cyclist to participate in that ride, but certainly for a female. And I have one of my very close friends and who I ride with often, who didn't enter herself into the ride but supported me through 80Ks of probably the toughest part of the ride from the base of Falls up through Harrietville and to the top of Hotham. So we rode together and she supported me and then made her way back the other way to the finish line to meet me 10 hours later, which was fantastic to see her at the end of such a big day.
What was it about having Magda along for that 80Ks that helped you on that day?
Well, I think it was just she's a very experienced rider. I would probably think that she's more experienced than me in the way that she's had experience with lots of racing. I haven't raced, even though I do a lot of group rides, I still haven't raced. So I guess the pace of that ride was very fast in the group that we were in. So I just felt confident riding along with her, knowing that she would look out for me. And yeah, even though we jumped in with other people, I just felt like I had her support the whole way. And even though it was only 80Ks out of a 240K ride, that just meant a lot to me for my confidence. It was extremely violently horrible with her at the top of Hotham. And in fact, I burst into tears when she went the other way.
Oh no.
But I kept riding and yeah, it was just lovely to have that support. There was a huge amount of support from everybody on that day, but it is really particularly special when it's such a close friend that's with you for a big chunk of the ride and then there for you at the finish line.
Why do you think it matters that women support women in cycling?
Well, I mean, I keep referring to that ride, but I think a lot of those big, long, grueling rides, there's only 10 or 15% of the total number of cyclists in those events that are women. So I think it's extremely important for us to sort of support each other during those times and just to make you realise that anybody really can do it. I mean, I've got kids, I've got a husband who normally travels apart from COVID but who's away a lot of the time. I've got dogs, I've got lots and lots of things that could keep me away from cycling, but having a community that just makes you want to be involved, you just always make time for them. 5:30 in the morning, it's always lovely to see another smiley face. That's what gets you out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're going to meet your mates for a great ride followed by a coffee at the end, and that's all pretty much before my kid get out of bed. So
yeah.
It's great to have a community of women that, yeah, that are like-minded and are willing to share that moment with each other.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Annette.
Okay, thanks. Take care. See you soon.
The other thing, I guess, is, you know, it comes back to the safe space question, mm-hmm. is creating a welcoming space and not judging people. I mean, yes. Women, I know men come in all shapes and sizes, but women come in thousands of shapes and sizes and from so many varied backgrounds, you know, with so many attitudes that they bring to cycling. And a lot of those attitudes start with, I'm not.
Yes.
So I'm not fit enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not dressed in the right clothes.
Yes. I'm not in the right clothes. Yes. So I think we've all been there. We're still there. No one's perfect. And there is no such thing as perfect, first of all. So I think, yes, B, I 100% agree. Don't judge. Appreciate everyone's background, whether that be a religious background, whether that be a traditional background, a cultural background, a fitness background, a mental health background. If they've rocked up to a ride, don't look at what they're wearing. Don't look at what they're on. Go and talk to them.
Yeah. Ask them about their experience. Say, what are you looking forward to about this ride today?
Yep.
And it can even be as much as, you know, I've led out a lot of rides for various black sheep events, and generally I'm with the slower group. Mm-hmm. And quite often there's a girl who's turned up and she's really not fit enough to do the ride or doesn't have the confidence to do the ride. And the feedback that I've got from those women who were at the back of the bunch, who got dropped on the first hill, and the ride leader stayed with them, mm-hmm. and just gave them a little bit of positive encouragement, mm-hmm. waited for them to, you know, restock their drinks, change their tire, whatever it was, you know, those people get fitter.
Yes.
And those people become ride leaders.
Fitter physically and mentally.
Absolutely. And they'll always remember the ride leader who waited that extra 10 or 20 minutes 100%. For them.
Hi, Jacqueline. How are you?
Good.
Can you tell the listeners how old you are?
I am 9 years old.
9 years old. And you are a BMX racer, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And Knox BMX Club. Now, when did you get into BMX racing?
I started doing training when I was 4 or 5, and I started riding my bike when I was 3.
Cool. And do you race against boys or girls or both?
So I either race against the girls above me or I race against the girls. I race against the boys who are 10 ages.
Okay. And why is it that you race against the girls above you?
Because there's a group of us who kind of are a bit faster than the other girls.
Yeah.
And so also there's not that. There's not too much girls who race below me, in the same age level as us.
So you need some competition by racing the girls who are a bit older than you.
Yes.
In your club, you mentioned to me before that there was a girl in your club called Stevie Williams. Is that right?
Yes.
And so how has she helped you in your BMX racing?
She helped me when I was nervous about doing my first clubby, Christmas clubby. And so she was in a team that could have won, but she went slower than me, so she could. And she gave me the confidence to do the ride.
And do you think it mattered that Stevie was a woman rather than a man?
I think it kind of does because I get kind of nervous around the supercross men. So she helped me and gave me a bit more confidence.
She sounds like a very special lady. Well, Jack, I think you have a really, really bright future in BMX, and I can't wait to see your name up in lights with the likes of Caroline Buchanan in the future. Thank you so much for speaking to us. I really appreciate your time today.
That's okay, thank you.
The other thing is, it doesn't have to be the beginner. It can be you and I, B. And I've had that. I had that today. I do not like steep hills. B knows this. Every time we go on a ride, I'm like, can we avoid anything that goes above 10%? And inevitably, of course, that tends to happen. And we do reach a point where the road tends to turn into a wall. And Bridget will always stick with me because she knows it's the particular point in my ride where I just tend to struggle. And she always tells me, just get to, what do you say?
The crest of the
hill. Just get to the crest. And, you know, and I've been riding a bike for 5-6 years now, so, and I still have my moments. So I think that's right. And that support isn't just for the beginner newbie who you barely know. It's for your friend that you've known for a long time.
Yeah. And that comes back to, I guess, that micro support. It doesn't have to be on a big scale.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly don't seek to do that with the Black Sheep Women's Rides in Melbourne. It's the community that we've got is a great community. And I've just been really chuffed with the feedback that we've got.
Yeah.
Everybody seems so excited to come on these rides. And I think that's a testament to the community of women that's built around the various kind of networks that we've got in Melbourne and, yep, you know, the work that we've done with Black Sheep and the, yep, group rides. So.
And this is what the WMN initiative is all about at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Like, no matter which part of the world you're in, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, if you ride a bike and you're happy on the bike, make someone else feel happy about it too.
Thanks again for joining us for the Love Women Cycling Podcast. You can find all our episodes and more on our website under the link, This Is Us, WMN Initiative.